This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. J.J. Watt on the Pat McAfee Show yesterday, making his weekly appearance. And they were going through some of the big performances from this past weekend. And so as they were kind of getting to the end of the list, Pat McAfee said, "Hey, J.J., you got anybody else that deserve some credit from this past weekend?
Is there any other people that you would like to highlight that we should be talking about, you think?"
I mean, sadly it was against obviously the Texans, but I think Jonathan Greenard deserves some love. He had three sacks against his former team. You could consider it a revenge game. I mean, he mentioned this. First play, first sack of the game, they have a tight end lined up on him. I mean, that is insulting as a defensive lineman, I will say. If you think you're going to block me straight up with a tight end after I left your team and I signed somewhere else, That will set you. Look at this. No offense to the tight end, Cade Stover, great player, but that's a tough looking rep to put on film the next day. And I think for JG, he obviously felt very good there, and this day had to feel good.
All right, so JJ confirms what Jonathan Greenard confirmed over the weekend. Stover, are you doing this? Why are you?
Well, there was, you know, the thing about that play was, if I'm remembering properly, they did send a linebacker. The Vikings did send a linebacker. So Cam Akers, instead of being able to help out with Jonathan Greenard, ended up having to pick that linebacker. And because the offensive line was trying to slide, Laramie Tunsil was sliding to the right because they suck at pass protection in general. So they're trying to send Laramie to snuff out fires here, there, everywhere. And versus that defense, it's not always an insult to have a tight end blocking a defensive end. Usually you see it more when a guy's crumming across the formation or doing something like that. But the way it worked out, if you're a defensive end, you don't care or worry too much about the reason why. You take the insult. You're like, you're going to block me with a tight end, okay? You don't think about the fact, like, well, we were blitzing. And you're going to block me with a rookie tight end. Mm-hmm. Cool. This is what happens.
Yeah.
And then you look to the other sideline. They're pointing up at the coordinator's booth.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is to tell the offensive line, boy, they're screwing you guys with this. What the hell?
Oh, get in their head a little bit, huh?
Yeah. Subterfuge.
I like that.
Yeah. They're like, boy, I'll tell you what, man. You guys should be way better than this. What is your offensive coordinator doing?
Knowing how much you get paid for sacks, I'd be like, you're insulting me. Could you please insult me five more times today? That would be amazing.
I'll let you do all manner of things to me.
Yeah.
If you pay me right.
That's right. Pull up spot rack.
Hey, lady, I'm not into that. What's that you say?
Oh, $30 million a year, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go.
Turns out I'm kind of into it.
All right. I can't decide. We're going to play an exchange here between McAfee and J.J. Watt. So yeah. I'll put this out there and then play it, and then you and I can talk about this. Look, the Pat McAfee Show is super popular. I think it's really good for us that J.J.'s on there because we get some extra content that is Texans-related, and the Texans are worth talking about on national shows like McAfee. And J.J.'s, I think, a really good source for thoughts on the Texans. And the fact that McAfee played for the Colts adds a completely next level dynamic to it with the rivalry. I can't decide if Colts versus Texans stuff has the potential to get super fun or super annoying between McAfee and J.J. Watt. Let's take a listen to this back and forth on Anthony Richardson yesterday.
punching in the mouth football. And we're not just punching like this. We're throwing rah-rahs. We're going 10-plus yards. AR is an explosive play waiting to happen. He leads the NFL in yards per completion at 16.2 by nearly 3 full yards. Okay? Boom. So he's not able to hit everybody. But when he does, it is way down there. And that is what the Colts are, baby. This guy's only in his 8th game in the NFL. JJ, look out. Look out, JJ.
I don't have to look out. We played a game already.
We're different teams now. We're different teams. Different teams now.
AFC Defensive Player of the Week, Jalen Johnson.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
On the sideline.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Anthony Richardson looks so bad. He's got it.
Do you think McAfee is? I didn't watch it. I only heard the audio. Is he serious?
Yes. Like, no. Okay, no, good. No, all right, no. I can't imagine. He's being sarcastic about it.
Okay.
What was the stat he had cited?
16.3 yards per completion.
Yeah, that's
three
right.
Yeah. 3 yards more than the next closest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if anything, that's a glaring issue right now, is because that's all he's good at is the deep strike every now and then.
Yeah,
with none of the other efficiency that comes with modern quarterbacking.
No,
it was Anthony Richardson is built like a 1950s quarterback. Except for the whole athletic part. But other than that, yeah, when it comes to they used to just, Mel Kiper.
I don't know what footage from the 50s you're watching.
Mel Kiper was saying that he would like the old school football. Like, yeah, slinging Sammy Baugh. Yeah. Yeah, those guys would throw it deep and complete like 30% of their passes.
Yeah. Daryl LaMonica. Yeah.
Mm.
Are you up for these next several seasons of McAfee v. Watt? Talking Colts versus Texans on there. Do you enjoy it, or is it a day by day thing?
I don't know if it's gonna get. It's not gonna get like Stephen A. Smith taking on Skip Bayless about the Cowboys or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna be mean spirited or vicious. Neither of those guys are gonna go all in and just really. I think McAfee is always trying to almost suck up to Houston. And I think JJ, it's more like he's trying not to be too snarky or anything and take a lot of shots because he's that's not who he is. So I'll enjoy the banter, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be like viral video type stuff.
Yeah. Text message. This goes back to Kikuchi and his 14 hours of sleep the night before starts. If I couldn't sleep 14 hours if I was dead. I'm lucky to get 7 and then I'm wide awake.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's
that's the other part of it, too. I think for the real world, especially where you're not a professional athlete and you're not as physically taxed, I think for the most part, it's okay. The equivalent is getting at least 7 hours of sleep a night, which is something that most people, you could figure out a way to budget it. I know some people have really wacky schedules. Most people could figure out a way to budget it, but there's something that you're not sacrificing to. There's usually, you couldn't find an extra hour in your entire day. Not just during your busy time at work or anything, but day in and day out. And I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
I know that I would be better off with 7 hours of sleep per night. But there's some times where I'm like, ah, I'm basically superhuman. Mm-hmm. I'm fine on 5 and everybody knows it. Shut up, Sean. Stop talking to me.
Pope effing Zaza, baby.
Yeah.
Someone is saying on the text page that Kikuchi is also eating 4 Benadryl before he goes to bed. Says no way a sober person can sleep 14 hours.
Yeah, that's what I don't get is I think if you're well rested, if you are, that's why I wonder too if he catches up on his sleep the night before.
Yeah.
Because if you're well rested, you shouldn't be able to sleep for 14 hours.
Right.
Like, it's usually a sign of an issue.
Yeah.
That you're, like, if you're able to sleep 14 hours, it means that you're either really sleep-deprived or you've got some kind of medical concern that's draining away your life force.
Correct. Yeah.
I wonder if he's sleeping for 14 or if he's meditating for part of that. Like, if he's just in bed for 14 hours.
Yeah, there's no way that he's getting REM sleep for 14 hours.
Yeah, he might just be, like, laying on his back, visualizing and doing breathing exercises and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe. Text message, will it be Kikuchi, Framber, and Arigetti as 1, 2, and 3 with Hunter Brown as the 4th when needed? Or will they add Verlander? Then says, topic not being talked about enough. Verlander can't be in the rotation right now. First of all, we've talked about this topic plenty. But apologies. Yeah. Maybe just not the segments, sir or ma'am, that you've been listening. So that we've talked about it a lot. there is zero chance that Spencer Arrighetti is in the rotation for a wild card round ahead of Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown's one of the 10 best starters in the American League right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, but maybe we're not talking about that enough, Sean.
I guess
it's like all the reasons that Arrighetti is not ahead of Hunter Brown in the playoff rotation.
Right.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
If I'm predicting right now, it'll go Fromber, Hunter Brown, Kikuchi. I feel real strong. Like, I'd bet a lot of money on that, that would be the order they would do it in.
For a three-game series.
For a wild card round.
Yeah. Then getting into a five-game series, what's your feel on that?
Well, it depends. Does the wild card round go three games, and then you're turning right back around, and, you know...
No, let's say the wild card game goes two games.
Then Kikuchi probably pitches the first game of the ALDS, because you won't have enough time. Framber won't have enough rest, I don't think.
Right.
From Tuesday, because I think the next round starts Saturday. So Framber would only have 3 days rest. So it would go Kikuchi, probably Arrighetti, and then I think that gives you enough time to get back to the top of the order again with
Framber. Your four-man playoff rotation
Yep.
And then Blanco Arrighetti might be any manner of combinations.
You're right. I'm shelving Blanco. It might be Blanco instead of Arrighetti.
I've sensed a certain Blanco disrespect out of you. You weren't happy for him for making the playoffs.
That's not true. You've kind of
sloughed him off.
Stop. No, I said going into that segment, I was happy for everybody. Yeah. These are the people I'm most happy for.
Yeah, and specifically excluded Blanco. So, I mean, this is what happens when you don't get enough sleep. And then, yesterday you said something, I forgot to bring it up because I think we're up against a break or something, where you questioned how Blanco would be used in the playoffs. And I thought, I wanted a clarification on it.
Yesterday?
Maybe I just misheard you.
Yeah. I don't remember that. I don't remember.
Okay.
I think he's going to, well, now that I think it through,
I think you put Arrighetti in front of him as a starter.
I just did 30 seconds ago, so I probably did yesterday, too.
Yeah,
but I need to think it through more. I need to probably think it. I probably am being a little dismissive of Blanco as a starter in the rotation just because he hasn't been. Arrighetti had a really bad moment in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But Arrighetti's good moments have been hyper dominant in the last month or so. Whereas Blanco has kind of regressed from what he was in the first half of the season.
Blanco, to me, I just look at those two in the playoffs as a piggyback combo.
Yeah.
And that Arrighetti especially, because, man, Arrighetti, he's worked his way through some troubles in the first inning at times, but there's just too many instances of him being a nightmare in the first inning to where in the playoffs, don't mess with it. Like, all right, Blanco can be a reliever and a starter, and this is him's time to come in and be long relief.
Yeah, I think Blanco is going to be more comfortable in a relief role than Arrighetti. I mean, Arrighetti's been nothing but a starter all year. That's a good question. I wonder what the audience thinks, like who they would rather. Who's the fourth starter in all this? Is it Arrighetti or is it Blanco? I think the most interesting thing is most people would say it's definitely not Verlander right now.
Yeah. I think so far, let's see, in his last four outings, Blanco has pitched six innings, two innings, and then five innings. But he's given up two earned runs in that stretch, just the most recent one versus the Angels, two runs.
Hold up. He gave up two earned runs over that whole four-game stretch? He gave up two earned runs?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, now you've got me second guessing.
Dominant. You're right.
Blanco was rough. Well, he only pitched two innings against Arizona.
Okay.
But It was August where everything, like, it looked like, oh, okay, it's back to reality. And then September was pretty good for him.
Okay, okay. I don't have a strong feeling either way on Arrighetti and Blanco. I probably just wasn't paying close attention to Blanco bouncing back, I guess. I don't know. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Let's circle back in the next segment to D'Amico Ryans. Tank Dell looks like he may miss the game this weekend. Some criticism for maybe having Tank Dell late in the game. I thought D'Amico had a pretty strong answer about this yesterday that we will hear coming up next.